Georgia. This is her walk-up, talk-up music, Ruth Lorden, at Psychic Ruth on Twitter, RuthLorden.com. Now, Ruth, Aaron Hicks, I got to ask you about, is this your psychic feeling? Is he a bit of a bonehead? Because he's the kid that wanted to go. They wanted to be a switch hitter. He only wanted to hit from one side last year. Winds up in the minors. He's just, some of these guys just don't get it. That there's certain things you have to do to be a professional, and he's not one that does or doesn't seem to. Is he just a little loopy as a kid, or is he immature? What do you sense for
my psychic
Aaron Hicks?
Feeling is he has people talking to him about his body and his health. I saw a slight shoulder problem, and he was afraid to injure himself, that if he was to do this switch hitting, he would blow out his arm.
Well, he needs to get over that because he's not going to play in baseball unless he starts doing it. And it's a good message that the, that Paul Molitor is sending to him. And there's messages that Adrian, we're speaking of messages, Adrian Peterson is sending messages to the Vikings that he doesn't want to be there anymore. He met last week with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman, the coach and general manager. And then Monday night, Spielman and Adrian Peterson went to New York to meet with the owners, the two principal owners, Ziggy and Mark Wilf. And the word out of that meeting is he does not want to be here in Minnesota. Will he be here in Minnesota? What's your feeling now? And will he wind up in Dallas or elsewhere?
Well, I'm not happy about my psychic feeling, but what I feel, and I've been saying it, I see him in a uniform, but I see him getting injured again. Something funny about, yeah, he had a remarkable recovery, but people are going to be gunning for him. I hope he can do two or three spectacular games, but basically he's a non-issue.
Well, not an issue. What do you mean? Well, you said last week you thought he could be in purple still.
Yeah, I saw it, and I'd still see that. He could be playing a game or two. He could still be. I saw him dressed in the purple, which he still is now. And even if he goes to Dallas, he gets a trade, and they let him go, and it's a money thing. Is it worth more than $10 million for him? That's what he has to decide right now, is $10 million is what I feel. But I do see, and I hope I'm wrong, and I'm even going to pray on it so it doesn't happen. He's going to get injured. It won't matter. It doesn't matter on whose bench he sits out the rest of the year.
He'll get paid, so from that respect, it doesn't matter there either. Now, what about the Minnesota Wild? Hottest team in hockey right now. Do you see them hoisting the Stanley Cup at the end of the postseason?
I'm not going to jinx anything by saying it.
Are you crossing your fingers?
Yeah. Remember, I'm a Blackhawk, so I got to be careful with that stuff.
Chicago Blackhawks fan.
Yeah. Right? Well, no, I'm not a fan. Remember, my parents went to the game.
You were conceived during a Blackhawk game.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's about time for the Wild. And Minnesota's due. Let's face it. We're due for something. They're hot. They're definitely going to be in the playoffs. And the vision I'm getting is they're touching the trophy. I don't want it to run away, so let's just put out the good vibes.
So are they touching it because somebody from another team had it and they got close to it? I don't think if you're a hockey player on a NHL, you don't touch the trophy unless you win it. That's a superstition.
What I'm seeing is, yeah, their hands are on it. So at this point, their hands are on it, but they haven't clenched it.
They haven't embraced it.
Right. So let's not put any bad vibes out there. Let's just keep the faith.
All right. Now, but you do see that it's pot. They could have the run they're having now through the regular season.
They need a three game streak, a three game hit, a three game, three game,
three, three game, game. What?
Like winning streak?
They've had that.
Yeah, another one. Have they got three games coming up? They're tough.
The last three games are tough.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the three game hit.
So something to launch them right into the postseason.
Yeah.
Winning streak.
And somehow they're not all that injured. They got good guys. That new guy that came, that new goalie is great. They're strong, and they're playing smart. That's my feeling. Is they're playing smart. They're not busting out.
All right. Now we're gonna flip back a little bit to our last guest was Brad Frost. He's the University of Minnesota women's hockey coach, and 2 years ago they had an undefeated season, but going into the Frozen Four, the final best four teams left in the country, I guaranteed his team would win, which they weren't crazy about that because no coach wants somebody else guarantee you're going to win. This year, they are top-ranked and top-seeded, and they're going into the first round of the tournament. Do you see the University of Minnesota women's hockey team winning another national title?
I see them winning games. I don't see any bad vibes. I think they're healthy.
All they have to do is win three games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're not arrogant. They have a real good shot. Yeah.
No, they have it. Well, are they going to win it or are they not going
to win? I would bet money on it. I'd bet money. I see 80%.
Oh.
Sort of. And I do feel this. These refs, as you know, get paid. Well, I don't want to.
I don't think at the women's hockey level.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a believer that could be. SU too.
Yes. If it's fair and square, they win.
All right. Now, what about, we'll talk about the third hockey team in town of any note, the men's hockey team. You see them winning a national title?
Why do I feel chaos all around them right now?
Probably because there has been.
Yeah, they just, I see all this chaos and craziness, and they have got to, they got to get it together.
All right, so we won't be counting on that one anytime soon. Now, what about, I mentioned the Twins, we mentioned Aaron Hicks earlier. Give me a number between 1 and 100. Well, not 1, but give me a number of how many games you think they'll win and how many games you'll think they'll lose. They play 162. What number do you see them winning?
The number I saw was 67%. Is that possible?
Well, 67% is pretty good.
Yeah, they're due. They're
due. So you think they'll win 67% of
the
games?
They're due. They should have meditation, you know, and they're starting to be awareness. They're going to be good. They got some good hitters. They need to work on their pitching, is my psychic feeling. Their pitching's not quite there.
No, it's not just a psychic feeling to know that.
Oh, do they need 3 new pitchers?
Well, they could use 5 good ones.
Yeah, because they need 3 new ones. And I just saw this Paul Molitor guy throwing up his arms frustrated because he did not know what he was walking into. He did not know what he was getting into.
Now, okay, Hellboy's our mathematical genius. What's 67%? How many wins is that?
It's about 109 wins.
Is that possible?
That would be improbable.
It's been done.
It'd be highly improbable for this. You're sure you don't mean 109 losses?
No. Well, maybe they'd win 74 or 75 games, but I saw them over 50%.
That would be way below. Yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah,
I'm shooting for 81.
Yeah, I'm seeing them. I was seeing them over 50%, and I felt the 67, they'd do well. Or who is there a 67 on the team?
Number 67 for the Twins. Do you know?
I have no idea.
Let me, number 67, Twins. That one, we're going to have to look up here. If there's a 67 on the team, I don't know who the hell it would be. We'd have to look at the, we'd have to take a gander at their, check their roster and see if there's a 67.
And how did they do in 1967? Would they be going back to that year?
You're pushing now, Ruth.
I know. I just felt that strong about
67.
Them.
67.
They're ready now. They may also once again get off to a bad start, and then they're going to pursue. They have no choice. People are tired of it, and you know something about the Minnesota audience when they put that pressure on. You know, it's one thing when they boycott and avoid, but then when they're like, "Come on now, you better win," the teams respond.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever had a player wear a number in the 60s.
Hmm.
Now, wait a minute. No, they did.
J.R. Graham, this spring training is number 62.
Luis Perdomo from the 2012 Twins award number 67. And they have, actually, they've got the highest number they've ever given out. The 1937 Washington Senators, number 88. Alex Sabo back from there. And Tony Batista had 77 back in 06, but no, I haven't found a 6. I'm sure there's something related to that. Now let's slide over to that other team in town. What about the Timberwolves? You see good things for them down the road after, you know, when these young kids get older. Is there the makings of a championship team there?
Are we talking down the road or down the major superhighway that is yet to be completed in 2046?
In other words, you don't see much happening. All right, we got that. Ruth, you know what? It's amazing. The time flies when you come here, and it just flew to the this is our magic number that we have to take a quick break. We want to thank you, Ruth Lorden, at Psychic Ruth on Twitter, ruthlorden.com. And are you any place people can find you this evening?
Well, tonight and tomorrow night, I'm at the Medina Entertainment Center. And this week, that's about the only place to catch me unless you sign up to see me privately or on the phone.
Okay. Well, that you need to do that. You can do it through ruthlorden.com or at Psychic Ruth on Twitter. You can reach her that way. And Ruth, I appreciate you taking the time. And I think you have to go to the airport because you have a VIP that you're taking to the airport. So we don't want to hold you anymore. A friend of yours who actually, we're not allowed to mention her name, but she is a big shot in Minnesota media, not radio, not newspapers, not the internet, big shot in TV, but she doesn't want us to mention her by name. We'll just wait till she leaves. So we'll be right back, little threesome at 3:15, and then we'll tell you who the big shot is. Who? No, put that mic on so they can hear it. Maybe they can guess.
I don't know.
Who can guess that voice?
Love you, Bob.
All right. Thanks so much, Iris. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. We're going to come right back with a threesome, and we're going to find out who's on the phone now. Who is it? Let's find out there. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Who's this?
This is Jim.
Jim, how are you?
I'm fine. Why are you wasting good airtime on
that? Jim, that's a lot. You know why? Because she knows her stuff. We'll be right back.
One and done. 1 hour of basketball talk every Saturday morning at 10 with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press and Hardwood Rob.
Who is Minnesota's best dunker, past or present?
It's hands down Rodney Williams.
Another name I was brought from the past is basically a dunk that Darius Lane did on Joe Frisbilla in 1998. I believe that dang near got him co-Mr. Basketball with Joe.
Darius Lane was a Hopkins guy?
No, he was at Tino Grace.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 10. One and done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Three, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in that gymnastic
what is that?
You'll get three.
What the heck did he just put up there?
This far.
First time for everything.
Van Holsen, man known for chicanery. Now he just put up something in our window. I didn't know what it was, and it's something we already got. But it's good of him to go through that.
Is it a sign that says, I love hamburgers?
It's Wimpy. Is that who you're talking about? Wimpy loved hamburgers from Popeye.
Oh. You know that. He'd gladly pay me Tuesday.
Yeah, gladly. You know, for a young kid, you are on top of your cartoon characters. Little threesome at 3:15. 3:19 to be more precise. We got three questions. We'll answer them. You want to join in, 651-989-9105 is the number. 651-989-9105. You want to jump in on any one of these? You can. Who's got the... Who we have asking today?
A robotic Stephen Gay.
That's good. Let's hear from him. Thank you.
Hello, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, with Adrian Payne's 16.15 rebound game against the Clippers, are you starting to see him as a future starter for the Wolves?
I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be a starter for the Wolves. I think that's why they brought him in. Flip liked him. He liked him in Michigan State, and I think he likes him now. And I think that's part of the plan. And Kevin Garnett is, you know, when he plays, he'll start. But Adrian Payne, I think, is the guy they want to be their power forward down the road. And it's actually, you can see this team taking some shape.
I know we've had this conversation with this guy. But when you think about the future of the Wolves, which guys are... there, and we've only been able to come up with Wiggins and Rubio for sure.
Well, I think Payne is certainly part of the future, and whether or not it's as a a starter, but he is part of Flip's guys that Flip has brought in. These are guys that he wants to be part of this team. You know, certainly his draft picks the last couple of years, he'd like them to be part of the team too. If Flip drafted them, he plans and hopes that they're going to be around.
I know in the first game that I saw Adrian Payne, I thought he looked kind of sluggish, but he hadn't been playing that much. That game against the Clippers, really saw him moving around and jumping out of the gym.
You know what? Maybe we'll give some credit here to Kevin Garnett. Maybe he's talked to him about it, because then that's what they brought him in for, to benefit these guys, you know, these young players, and that's his position. So maybe he did learn a little something from him. I mean, he was a good rebounder in college. I mean, he was a good all-around, but again, college to the pros, huge difference. But I do think that he is going to be, he's in the plans. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Do you? I mean, no. I don't think you brought him in unless you were thinking you were going to have him in the, you know, in your long-range plans. This is not, they didn't get him just because they thought that they had him for the year, check him out and get rid of him. I think this goes back to, when he was in college again at Michigan State, that I believe that he really liked him. Now, let me ask you that question. Who else do you see as on this team that let's go not 2 years from now, 2 to 3 years from now? Bennett, do you think he'll be on the team?
That's really tough to say. I don't think he's going to be. He really needs to take a big step forward and start, you know, crashing the rim, going for rebounds, playing as the four is supposed to.
You know, honestly, if he was playing the way he's supposed to, I don't think Payne would be here. If he was doing what he was supposed to. And I'm not going to go through all the guys, but
Zach
just the
Levine,
young guys.
Shabazz Muhammad, those guys, I would think are still going to be around. Jang's going to be around.
I believe that, too. And Well, LaVine is going to be around. There's no question about that. Shabazz Muhammad, you mentioned. Payne. Well, Peck is not young, but I mean, of the young guys, and Wiggins obviously is going to be around. So that would be, you got Wiggins, you got, and Rubio we put in the young category too, certainly. You got Rubio, you got Payne, that's three of them. Muhammad is four, LaVine is five, and Zhang, six, and, Bennett, I don't think he's going to be part of this team's future. Unless things should have turned around already for him.
Yeah.
So you got half a dozen guys that'll be, but of the half a dozen, three of them are starters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, if you put Payne at power forward, but I don't know that Levine's going to, do you see him as a starter on this team? He's got a lot, his game has to come a longer way than it has.
He has to come a long way. He needs to put on some muscle because if we're going to keep Rubio around, if he's starting, he's starting.
Well, Jen could wind up being, he could be your, you know, he could be your starting center.
Jen could easily be the starting center. He's got that long wingspan you really like down in a rim protector. But we'll see who we get in the draft as well.
Well, absolutely. That'll be a determining factor in much of this. But I guess if you do actually know you're going to come away, and whether it's Jang or Payne or both, that you've got three starters, all right, that's not a bad core to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them are supposed to be stars, Wiggins and Rubio.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the two stars and you have the others that are good complementary players. That's not the worst. It's not the worst situation by any means. All right, what else you got?
Number two, the Wild have back-to-back games this weekend. Will Devin Dudnuk start both games?
Why would you stop starting him? Until he actually bottoms out or says, give me a night off, don't. Because you give him a night off, and if he's playing well, he may actually lose whatever it is he's got him. It's like, it's like he's playing on some sort of it's like a magical ride he's on. Why would you do anything to interrupt that? And they haven't.
It's going to be a really interesting, well, weekend, because it's Friday against Anaheim at home, and then we turn around and travel to St. Louis. So we're facing two teams that have more points than us in the season, teams that know how
However,
to score.
However, see, it would be a lot different if this was a trip to the West Coast, you know, that they had to take. St. Louis, that's nothing. That's, what, an hour flight. That's just stretching your,
still back-to-back games against two of the best teams in the league.
But why wouldn't you do it, though, and see how he plays? Because you're going to be facing, once you get into the postseason, whoever you're playing of these teams, you're going to have to go some back-to-back games. So why not just let him go until he shows any signs of weakening or being tired. If he does, then you give him, let's say he gets, if he were to get blown out against Anaheim. See, that's the problem, though. Let's say he gets blown out against Anaheim, which I don't think is going to happen. But then you don't bring him back. Well, then you get blown out with your other goaltender, and then suddenly you're on a two-game losing streak. This is why they get paid the big bucks. I would just play him. Unless he said, I can't handle it, or I'm too tired, or something's wrong, you don't take him out of the games.
One thing we know about our backup goaltenders, they're fresh.
They are fresh. And but then you know what? You put them in there, and they'll also be fresh, and they'll be rusty. Because they haven't played, so they'll give up 8 or 9 goals. I would just unless he tells you he needs to come out, there's no reason. And then I don't see a scenario where he gets blown out.
I'm just really hoping we can do one of those things on Friday night where we hold the other team to about 18 to 20 shots, which is going to be really tough to do against Anaheim. But just so he doesn't have to put in a full body of work, so he'll be a little bit more ready.
You know
for the
what?
Blues.
You're talking like he's some fragile China doll.
He is
the
right
guy,
now.
No,
he's the glue. It's
yeah,
holding
he might
our team
be. Yes,
together.
But he's a young guy. This is what he. They all should be able to do this. The reason that these other teams are also a lot of cases, that you're seeing more than one goaltender playing, so they have a pretty good one as a backup too. That's not the case here. You got him and you got prayer. All right, let's see who that is. Hello?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. This is the ticket, correct?
This is the ticket, you are correct. Who's this?
Hey, my name's George Brother. Hey.
George Brother, okay, Mr. Brother.
I'm pissed off, man.
Uh-oh, why?
Well,
we don't talk like that. You know what, he got an opportunity to go full-time on the ticket, and he took it. We need to have a phone screener.
That'd be nice.
Our guy.
Sometimes.
Our guy that Sam Ekstrom usually does it, I think he's on a little bit of a vacation. So we'll, you know what, though? This is what radio is. It's like, you know what it's like doing, what is it, Tradio? Where you put some guy on who's bidding on something else. You don't know who's calling. It's guerrilla radio. You never know what you're going to get.
We're blindfolded.
Right? We're playing blind. You know, we could have left the guy on. I could have explained to him. But he used the dirty word.
I got to let it recharge now before we can Shout out to somebody else to
put anybody else on. Hey, 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. This is kind of like going on a trapeze without a net. Because usually...
It's not a very bright idea, right?
You know what, though? No one's ever accused you or me, particularly me, of being bright.
Well, I guess you got me there.
Hey, you were supposed to know. You're brilliant, Bob. All right, we got a third question. What is it?
And finally, are the Vikings waiting for something, or do they just not value this year's free agent class very high?
That's a good question. I think a lot of the good free agents are gone. Look, the phone is just lighting up here. Let's see who they are. You want it to fly without a net again?
No, not until this thing's ready.
Oh, it's not ready yet?
No.
How much longer?
It slowly rebuilds.
How long does it take to rebuild?
Pretty long.
All right, you know what? We're going to we need to take a break anyway because we're going to be talking to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. And we'll screen the callers because I think young Hellboy gets nervous when people say dirty words on the air. I get nervous about that too.
Just a little bit.
So we'll be flying. As soon as that thing recharges, we'll be flying without the... How the heck long does it take?
Takes a while.
Like minutes?
A couple minutes.
Wow. All right, we'll be right back with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
I think someone better P-test Tiger Woods. I said that a long time ago.
But how dare the PGA do anything like that to their chosen son?
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
What you doing?
You had me answering phones. I didn't have any music ready.
Oh, all right. Well, Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and SuhanUnfiltered.com. Well, he's a musician. He could sing his own walk-up, talk-up music. There we go.
You sing, Bob.
How's that? He's finally got the music going. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm good. You?
Not too bad. Hey, I saw you're absolutely right. I saw your tweet. They are boring us into submission, the Vikings.
And I'm okay with that. I think free agency is incredibly overrated. I think usually the definition of free agency is that the guy goes, he doesn't go for what the median value is. He didn't go what the median bid is. He goes for the highest bid among a small group of teams that are willing to overpay him to begin with. So I think most free agents are ridiculously overpriced. Usually you're getting them at a point in their career where they might be on the downside or approaching the downside. And, you know, there are exceptions, but they are exceptional players. Darrell Revis, if you're one player away, he might be that one player.
Yeah.
And his skills translate to any defense you want to run, unless you're stupid enough to play your own defense with them. But not many, you look at Dominican Sue. Is he worth that kind of money? Well, in an open market, yes. In a salary cap league with a team that has a lot of other holes to fill, at a point, and knowing that he didn't sign with Miami thinking he's going there to win, he signed with Miami for weather and money. That's scary. I mean, he could be a really good player, but I don't know if they'll ever, in terms of wins, actually capitalize on what they're paying him. Most of the players who move the first couple of days of free agency are desperation moves.
And you're right, there's a tendency to overpay. But let me throw something at you. Young Hellboy and I were talking about this. Jacksonville wanted DeMarco Murray, and they couldn't put a deal together. If you were Jacksonville, would you trade the number 3 pick to the Vikings for Peterson and the number 11?
Oh, yeah.
I would, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would, I don't think that might be a win-win for both teams.
Oh, I mean, the Vikings would be stupid not to do it. And the Jacksonville is, they've been... I think they have shown some signs, despite the record, of becoming a better defensive team, of becoming a better coach team. They haven't found a quarterback yet, which is a problem, obviously. But you can see them kind of building something there. And they want to have a team that's built on running game and defense. If you get Peterson, then you have a chance to have the running game. You have Julius Thomas really opens things up for passing game and for matchups and making defenses pay for, not defending him correctly. And then if you get the 11th pick, you can get a really good player at the 11th pick. Let's face it, sometimes when teams pick 3, 4, 5, they end up not getting the best player in the draft and not getting somebody who's really that much better than somebody they could have gotten in the middle of the first round. So if I'm Jacksonville, I do it, and if I'm the Vikings, I do it.
Well, and, they like Blake Bortles, and suddenly he's got Adrian Peterson taking some heat off him, as you mentioned, Julius Thomas, too. The 3 pick, though, you could keep it, or let somebody trade into it. But this Leonard Williams, the defensive tackle from Southern California, I mean, everyone was all gaga over Jadeveon Clowney, and we see how that worked out. But this kid's supposed to be an incredible, you know, he's got the size, 6'5", 302. He could play inside or outside. So he seems to be the consensus as the best player, but neither of the first two teams expected to take him. They're going quarterback. It's that would liven things up, I think.
No, and, you know, I remember asking Zimmer because I wanted to get into his mindset. I asked him last year when they were going to play the Lions the second time, who's more valuable, somebody like Calvin Johnson or somebody like Sue? And he kind of, you know, gave a coach's answer to avoid answering it. And I said, okay, which of those two guys as a coach, head coach, makes you lose more sleep? A great outside wide receiver or a great interior defensive tackle who can also rush the passer? And then, you know, when I put it in those terms, he said, well, you know, as much as great as Calvin is, the guy who scares you to death is the interior lineman who can disrupt every running play and who can collapse the pocket from the inside. He said those guys are just almost impossible to find. So if you can find a guy like that, Zimmer would be all over it.
Well, and if you're the Vikings, you should be on the phone with Jacksonville, because with the 11th pick, you're going to have you could get Devontae Parker. He's going to be there, you know, and he's the kid from Louisville, so you get him as a receiver. If you're looking for another wide receiver, you lose out on Williams, but you're getting Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happened to the Vikings in recent drafts. I mean, when they picked 7th, Adrian Peterson fell to them. When they picked 21st, Randy Moss fell to them. When they picked 22nd, Harvin fell to them. I might be getting those numbers a little mixed up.
No, you're about right. It's close, yeah.
Yeah, it's close. I mean, so often the guy who falls to you is as good or better than the guy that everybody gets excited about at number 2 or number 3. So, I mean, you can do a lot of damage to the 11th pick in the draft.
And then maybe that's what the Vikings' argument is, too. Why trade it if we can get a good player there? But it's tantalizing, especially if he wants to be moved, and you keep him from going to Dallas now, and you send him to a team that he doesn't really want to go to, but he has no choice. He gets traded. He has to play, or he sits out. He'll play.
No, he's going to play. He'll want the money, and I don't blame him. I mean, these guys' careers are short. He's going to make a lot of money wherever he plays. Of course, he plays. I still think until the door is closed on Peterson ending up with the Cowboys, I'm going to believe there's still a chance.
Well, if DeMarco Murray goes, who's their running back?
They don't have one.
That's what I mean. I mean, they have to do something.
They got the shoplifter and the other guy.
That's pretty much it.
You know, I mean, and both of those guys are limited situational backs. Peterson still makes a lot of sense, and DeMarco Murray is insulted by the offer they made him. Now the question is, you know, are the Cowboys being really calculating and thinking that they're going to end up with Peterson, or are they just devaluing the position by not offering Murray a lot of money? If they're devaluing the position, then obviously they're not going to spend that much on Peterson. If they are just doing this to cause Murray to leave, so they don't look like they turn their backs on a guy who gave them so much last year, then Peterson's perfect for him.
Well, and I also wonder, yes, Peterson, the team could not contact him, but you know that his agent's been talking to people, and that his agent is probably orchestrating this too, and telling Peterson, stay hard line, you don't want to go back there, because he figures he can get him into Dallas or get him somewhere to get him, if not the same contract, more guaranteed money than he's facing right now. Because right now, with Peterson and what's happened over the last year, guaranteed money's kind of key in his career when you're hitting 30, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the key to all NFL contracts.
Yeah.
And you would think that if a team wanted him badly enough to pay him full freight for this year and wanted him badly enough to engineer some kind of a deal, they'd also be willing to make him, they'd want him happy. They'd want him coming there really happy, which would probably mean giving him more guaranteed money than he already has in the contract.
We're talking to Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune and Suhan on filtered.com, where you can find his podcast. Now, young David, our Hellboy, he asked me a question. Now, ask him the same one about Dubnyk, about the back-to-back. Because I think Jim might agree with me, but I want to hear what he thinks.
Well, with back-to-back games against Anaheim and St. Louis on Friday and Saturday, what are the chances that Devin Dubnyk does play both those games?
Well, I think what happened was Dubnyk signed an under-the-table deal when he came here to play every game for the next 10 years. It's pretty obvious that's what happened here. I would rest him against St. Louis. I know that he's held up very well, but let's face it, you're in good shape. Your season is going to be defined, no matter how impressive this run has been, your season is going to be defined by how well you play in the playoffs. Because if you do all these things to get into the playoffs and then lose in the first round, it's going to be a bad season. So I want him playing against Anaheim. If I'm the Wild, I want to put up a good show against Anaheim. You might be facing them in the first round. It's a team I think you have a chance to beat. You don't have good feelings about playing them. St. Louis, you're probably not going to play in the first round. You usually don't match up that well against them. It's on the road, short night of sleep. It might be one of those games that internally you recognize you probably don't have a great chance of winning no matter what you do. So I play Dubnyk against Anaheim. I rest him against St. Louis.
I'm thinking that he's going to go. I think he's going to go back to back. I would leave it up to Dubnyk. If he wants a break, give him the break. He's probably going to say no, because now I think he feels he's an Iron Man and he wants to keep going.
At some point,
he needs a night off.
He needs a break, and this is a perfect time to do it. And then he has three nights off for the next game. And let's face it, they also have a very difficult schedule coming up here. You can't have, if Dubnyk starts showing wear and tear during the middle of this difficult stretch, then it's possible they could collapse. They could come back to earth. This is, to me, the ideal time to get Morris.
Well, that's the psychology, too. If they lose Friday night to Anaheim, you know, and then you want to risk with throwing somebody in the net, do you want to, if it's Kemper, do you want to risk getting blown out there, and then you're suddenly facing a two-game losing streak? Mike, you'll learn some money over the weekend. But I see both of you think that he should rest, and I'm not fighting that, but it's going to be interesting to see. If Friday night can make it a lot easier. If they beat Anaheim Friday night, it makes it easier to rest him.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. But, if you want to look at negative scenarios, you lose to Anaheim at home, you go to St. Louis and play a team that really is one of the few teams in the West that really is just a pure matchup problem for a while. They just don't play well in St. Louis. They're not as physical as St. Louis. Then you lose that one, and now you've played Dubnyk 2 days in a row, you've worn them out, and you've lost two straight. I'm not sure that's great either. I mean, so I think you've got to remove the when do you rest Dubnyk question from results. Otherwise, you're desperate and burning them out.
Yeah, and
I think you got to pick a day ahead of time saying we're resting them this day no matter what.
Well, and I don't know if he'll share that right away, but it makes sense what you're putting there. Speaking of hockey, you had Mike Russo on with you yesterday, or is it tonight you're going to have him?
No, it's actually Michael and I are heading over to the local right now.
Oh, you're doing that's right. You're doing it at the local.
And we're actually moving it up a half an hour to not conflict with Jeff Dubé's podcast. So ours is going to be 4:30 to 5:30, time change, 4:30 to 5:30 at the local. And I think Russo told me he'd buy, beers and dinners and cars for anybody who shows up.
Wow. That's very generous. Well, I've always heard he's a very generous guy.
I think Maserati. I think that's what he talked about giving away.
Well, I'm sure with all that, I'm sure he gets a lot of dough covering the Wild. I mean, they take care of him because he's as good as they get.
Absolutely.
No, you want to check that out. Now, Jim, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's the kind of deal, as you know, you can listen to it live or you can just listen to it anytime later at the website.
And SuhanUnfiltered.com is the website, website to go to. And you could also catch Jim and Mike Russo in Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Jim, you have another couple of days off because we are doing the first 2 days of the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow. So I think we'll have the early game. We'll have the first two games on, and then we'll do some of the night games too. So, Hellboy and I, and we don't have to worry about, we will not be on the next 2 days, because of the Big Ten tournament, which we'll carry on 105 The Ticket. And it'll preempt part of the Superstar and Ben show also for the night action. So we will talk to you next week. Enjoy the enjoy the 4 day weekend, I guess, from this standpoint.
Oh, it sounds like just party central, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. All right, Jim, take care. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you next week. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and upon our return, we're going to talk to a guy we talk to every week on Wednesday, John Tower, coach of the St. Thomas basketball team and a psychology coach at St. Thomas. And one of the things we want to talk to him about is I want to know what he said to his players after the opening round of the NCAA tournament when they lost to that university, that Northwestern. He was telling us about them last year. It's a local team from, Roseville that they played, and it was a heartbreaking loss for them. Lost in the final seconds in that game. And one of these teams, that team now, can have a nice run because they beat a hell of a team in St. Thomas. So we'll come right back and talk to John about that in just moments.
The fight for the dance happens this week when the Big Ten basketball championships are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Twice. That was a pro splitting move. The defense. Knifing down the lane.
Our Big Ten coverage starts Thursday at 10:45 a.m.
Triple pull up from 17. He buried it again. He's feeling it now.
It's time to decide the champion on the hardwood.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
All the way to the paint. Two-handed smash.
On Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
We're back. That's walk-up, talk-up music for John Tower, coach of the St. Thomas basketball team and a psychology professor at St. Thomas. John, I want to mention this before we talk about basketball. Sam Bradford, the newest Philadelphia Eagle, their quarterback, he's been texting and calling his former Oklahoma Sooners teammate, DeMarco Murray, trying to lure him to go to Philadelphia. And there's a ripple effect there because if Murray is out of Dallas, we talked to Jim Suhan just now about it from the Star Tribune. I think there's going to be a big push to get him in Dallas. And Dallas will pull out a few stops to try to make that happen. So I want to just give a little football update before we talk to you about but John, it had to be a heartbreaking loss for your team to Northwestern in the NCAA Division III playoffs the other night.
Yeah, it was, Bob. There's no, and I'm sorry, I'm down at the state tournament at the Target Center, so hopefully there's not too much background noise here.
No, but, not at all.
It was a really tough way to end the season. Our guys had played great all year, and certainly any end of a season is abrupt, but to lose on a buzzer-beating three-pointer where you're up by two, it's heartbreaking is the right term. I love coaching these guys, and it ended sooner than we thought, but give Northwestern credit. They played a great game, and, it's part of the nature of sports. You talk about the psychology of bouncing back, and usually you get another game, and now here we're sitting looking like, well, we got 8 months till our next game, and we remember that buzzer beater, but it doesn't take away from a lot of the great things that our guys accomplished this year.
Well, that's what I want to, because every coach has something to say to try to lift their team after a season-ending loss. For you, not being just a coach, but also a psychology professor, what did you say? Is it something, and I hate to put it this way, almost by the numbers of what to say, or do you have another spin you can put on it because of your background as a coach and a professor?
Well, I mean, I don't know what other coaches say, but I'm pretty brutally honest. I mean, I told our guys, look, I don't have any words that are going to make this easier. And that's true of a lot of seasons, but I think you add in being 24-3 at the time, being ranked highly, and then losing at the buzzer, that's tough to deal with mentally. But I also, the thing that I think you hope is that young athletes at whatever level, they're able to see the big picture. You know, I've always told our guys that the three things I want, number one, I want them to grow and develop as people. Number two, I want them to learn about day-to-day sustainable excellence in life. And number three, want to compete for championships. And so while we didn't win a national championship this year, I really felt like those other goals, they more than exceeded what we had hoped.
Well, and John, about what happened to your team, I mean, it's not like you played bad or you lost on a three-point buzzer beater. I've talked to you about kidding about your football coach doesn't want to hear good luck. That's luck.
Well, give the kid credit. He's a very good guard who made it. And I got to tell you, when I step back, it makes the loss breaks my heart and our players. But the last 40 seconds, we were ahead by one. And we had the ball three times. We scored all three times. So you would never think you'd lose in that situation. But they missed, got the rebound, and we fouled them. They scored. We came back and scored. They hit a three. We came down and scored, and they scored. And that all happened in about the last 35 seconds or so. So it really, it was a back-and-forth game. And we're friends with their staff. I mean, they do things the right way. And, Tim and his staff and his team, I am very happy. They won their next game, and I'm happy for them. Certainly we were disappointed, but that's the nature of sports, too. You go into it knowing that one team out of 420 is going to be really happy at the end of the year, and unfortunately it's not us.
So was it back-to-back games, back-to-back days, or was there a day in between?
No, the tourney is back-to-back days. So you play Friday, Saturday, hopefully for 3 weekends straight.
Okay, so now they wind up going, they're in the Sweet 16 then, right, for Division III?
Yeah, they're in the Sweet 16 playing a regional at Stevens Point this weekend. They play a team from Texas first. So it's certainly what we had hoped to be doing. We had hoped to be doing it at home at St. Thomas, but that's part of the nature of sports and being resilient. And, you know, most of our guys, we lose three seniors, two starters, but, you know, I think our guys certainly are already itching for the start of next season.
Well, now you mentioned you're at the state basketball tournament. Do you use this? Do you just watching the games or an opportunity to talk to players about coming to St. Thomas? Or can you talk to them about that?
Yeah, you can talk to them. And that's, you know, we recruit all year long. We're at high school games all the time. And so we're down here watching players. And, you know, that's a huge part of our job is, you know, there's the old adage, it's less about the X's and O's and more about the Jimmies and the Joes. And that, you know, there's a lot of truth to that you have to have great players and great people to be successful. So, we're down here recruiting and trying to find the next group of Tommies.
Jimmy, Joes, and Tommies. How many Jimmies and Joes do you have on the Tommies?
Well, we had Jimmy Ancius. I don't think we have any Joes right now, so maybe we'll look for one of those.
Do you got any Tommies?
We don't. We have a Tommy on our junior varsity, yes.
Oh, well, yeah, and the other thing, now, this is something I'm interested in. Talking to John Tower, St. Thomas basketball coach and also a psychology professor at the university, do you run into some kids where you almost have to, I don't know how you know, if it's gently or do they know already, well, son, you know, you'd be one heck of a D3 player, but it's not going to work at D1 or D2. I mean, how do you have that conversation very often, or do they already know that they're D3 and they're not really meant to be D2 or certainly D1?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, most of our players are Division II quality players, and a lot of them turn down full Division II scholarships to come play for us. But there's certainly, you know, we don't want to be the people who tell them you're not a Division I player, because the reality is we don't get to make that choice. We recruit the best guys we think fit with St. Thomas, and if they end up getting Division I scholarships, good for them. If they don't, they're going to find that out through the Division I coaches. So really our challenge is trying to, you know, we don't have athletic scholarships, so it's much more often, Bob, trying to convince a guy who has a Division II scholarship, here are all the reasons why St. Thomas would be a great option. And I think Division III, while it probably doesn't garner the notoriety that a Division I program does, it offers a great balance in between academics and athletics. And you put that together with our location and our career development. And, you know, I'm admittedly biased, but I think it's unparalleled.
Well, John, that's the other thing, because how is D3 do? I mean, do you have grants that they get? Because there are no scholarships, as you say, as D3. But some kids, and I'm not talking about St. Thomas in particular, but a lot of D3 schools are, you know, they're not cheap. So how do they get some financial aid? Is it something that is available to all students, or is there something that just athletes have availability to?
Oh, no, there's no athletic scholarships at all. But what there, you know, there is merit-based aid. So if you're a really good student with a really good ACT score, that's going to help. If you come need-based aid, so if your family qualifies for aid, and then, you know, and then there's student loans, and there's work study, and there's different scholarships out there. So it's certainly not easy. You piece it together, but it's, you know, when you see the sticker shock of, okay, a lot of these schools are $35,000 plus room and board, you know, the vast majority of students are not paying that. There's a pretty significant discount rate at most schools, and so that, you know, that certainly helps alleviate some of that pain.
Well, John, you must be one heck of a persuasive coach, because if a kid's got a D2 scholarship in hand, to say, you know what, I'm going to give away this free ride, and I'm coming there, and I'll take out student loans, and I'll go for grants, and, you know, and whatever I can do to defray the cost. That's pretty good, if you're talking
well,
to that.
I don't know how good I am at it, but that is, you know, what we think, and I'm, you know, I think that's true of a lot of Division III schools, but at St. Thomas, that's what we're trying to sell is the balance. You're not on scholarship,
yep.
So we don't own every minute of your day, and there is a balance of academics and athletics and our location and all of those different factors, and at the end of the day, the other thing that, you know, I believe is recruiting really shouldn't be any sort of high-pressure sales. It should be laying out, here's what our university has to offer, and if it's a fit, a young man says, that's great, I'll make it work, and if it's not, that's okay, too. I mean, it shouldn't be high pressure, because guys should be going to the schools that they really think are the best fit for their goals.
Now, let me ask you, this is a question that Hellboy here and I had, a conversation we had. There's an ESPN 30 for 30 is, I hate Christian Laettner, is what it's going to be called. Were you a Christian Laettner hater, or did you like him when he played?
I always liked watching him play. You know, I grew up watching Duke, and then I saw him with the Timberwolves, and, you know, I think he was probably one of those guys that generated kind of ambivalent reactions, because on one hand, I think it would be hard not to love his competitive spirit and all the big plays he made at Duke. On the other hand, there are lots of stories about where maybe he wasn't always the nicest guy, and that's not uncommon. If a guy's really competitive, he might not be, you know, the most empathic guy in the world either. So, you know, I don't know enough about him, I guess, to offer a great opinion.
Well, the whole idea, but somebody's picture in the dictionary, the word aloof would have Christian Laettner next to it. Because he is everything. He is the walking definition, or was as a player, the walking definition of aloof. And snobbish, too. You can probably find that there. Hey, one other thing I wanted to mention. Nothing new for people. Superstar Mike Morrison, Ben Holson will be up next. But Adrian Peterson, still a Viking. And Andre Johnson, now a Colt. So that's there. I mean, he's toward the downside of his career, but that's not a bad acquisition for them. And, John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time with us. Again, sorry to hear, you know, I felt terrible when I saw that you lost that game and how you lost it. But, you know, you've got a heck of a program there, and it'll be there every year. So we appreciate you taking the time. I hope you can continue to join us. I love talking about the psychology of sports, too.
Hey, it's one of the highlights of my week. I love hearing your perspective, Bob, and thank you for the support. It was a tough end of the season, but love the way our guys played all year, and we'll be back fighting again next year.
All right, John, thank you. John Tower, coach at St. Thomas, the basketball team, and also a psychology professor there. So if you go to school there, he can both coach you and teach you. John, thanks again. Enjoy the tournament you're at.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, take care. That's got to be tough. You know, any time a season ends for a team, but when you had such high aspirations and hopes, it's not it's a very tough one. And I'm curious to see if Sam Bradford, if he can recruit DeMarco Murray to the Eagles, I think it opens it up for a bid by Jerry Jones to get Adrian Peterson in Dallas. And as I mentioned, keep listening to The Ticket. We, Hellboy and I, we will not be with you at our normal 2-4 time the next couple of days, because we're going to be doing the Big Ten basketball tournament. We'll be back Monday. By then, Adrian Peterson could be somewhere else entirely.
Would that be a good thing? Especially if we get the third pick?
It depends on what you get the third pick. That's the deal that they have to do. I got to start tweeting the hell out of that thing. Matter of fact, I'll do it before I leave here. Superstar Mike Morrison, Ben Holson will be up next joining you. And we appreciate it. Remember, we'll be back with you on Monday. Listen to Big Ten Tournament the next couple of days. We'll see you later.
The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Three signals strong, 105 The Ticket.